Because there's one with Johnny Knoxville as the sidekick and one with
Sean one of them is walked tall.
That's the Johnny Knoxville one, is walking tall. That's the one with Johnny Knoxville.
Is that also set in a jungle?
See, in my memory, yes.
so is Jumanji. Like, the man has so many jungle movies.
It's on his rider. It's like one for them, one in the jungle.
You think jungle, you think like vines and Tarzan and stuff. Well, I do. You don't think rocks, but there's loads of rocks in the jungle. Three Jumanjis at this point.
How's all of you guys? Fucking any good any crack at the long boy?
The long no. COVID. Yeah.
You got COVID.
Long COVID. No, I don't have COVID. COVID's fake. It never existed. It's not real.
Long COVID's real though.
Yeah, long COVID is, but it's
not. COVID is a scam.
Regular COVID's a scam just to get you to eat your vegetables, but the long one's real. I should have got in on long COVID before they started saying it wasn't real.
Oh, it's definitely real.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether it is or isn't. The establishment has decided it's now not real because they don't want you taking any time off work for it.
Oh, so, right, yes, that. Yeah.
But for a while,
I have a buddy who wasn't able to walk for months.
Yeah, I think he might have had two things.
Yeah, he also broke both of his legs.
It's fucking typical.
That's fucking long COVID, man. It and because of his broken legs, thing. He was really tired all the time.
Was it a Chris Rock joke where it's like at a certain point, no matter what, you die of its old age, got hit by a truck? Well, if you were younger, you'd have moved. So if you didn't have long COVID, you might not have fallen off that tree. You know, I mean, who? That's what happened to Johnny Knoxville in Walking Tall, that's for sure.
I'm not sure I've seen it.
You should.
Okay.
See it.
I'll download it and watch it. I'll watch it on the plane.
Yeah, it's like a fun little movie. It's not good, but it's fun. Okay. It's
does Rock like carry like a 2x4 for a lot of
us? Oh yeah, 2x4 is his main thing in Walking Tall. He don't like he has a thing against guns, and so he solves all his problems with a 2x4.
He's a thing against guns, but he's very pro 2x4.
I seem to recall the message of Walking Tall being anti-gun. Now that I think of it, I don't know what I'm basing that on. I mean, movies at that time didn't tend to be, did they?
No, they yeah, did but not.
Maybe
sir.
It was like he's so tough he doesn't need a gun.
A reasonable point to make,
like
I think.
Like Batman level shit, you know?
Yeah, Batman never used guns at all, did he?
Batman can't.
No,
kill.
That was kind of his thing. Although his thing kind of flipped between don't use guns and doesn't kill people.
Yeah.
Batman always doesn't kill.
Well, guns don't kill people. Rappers do.
Rappers do. Yeah. I saw it on a documentary on BBC2.
That Welsh documentary?
Yeah, well, Welshmen do.
I gotta tell you, there is a character that like I wouldn't still be doing, but I've try all my new characters on Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
She really hates this one, so it's common. It's a man who's converted to Welsh. he's really the zeal of a convert. Like he's constantly inventing Welsh holidays and Welsh versions of things. Like can't come to work that day. It's Welsh Christmas. You understand? Plus, we had Welsh April Fool's Day. It's on April 2nd. That's the joke.
So a born again Welshman.
Born again Welshman. Yeah, yeah. He gets.
I like very... it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I see how that would work.
Yeah,
it's not hurting anybody. Except it's to listen to it.
Yeah, you haven't had to listen to it for 3 weeks straight. Like it's like it'd be one thing. The only reason he's a born again Welshman and not just Welsh is because my Welsh accent stinks. So
you've got a plot justify the quality of the accent. In
yeah,
the,
I've hung a lantern on it and it's like, well, he's converted to Welsh. You know, it's one of the few matrilineal descent things. You know, it's like it's us and Judaism. You know, and we've been attacking the Palestinians for centuries, but just no one's noticed because we're shite.
I like that the funnel is clearly like wreck Michelle's head with it for a few weeks, test drive it on the show here for a week or two, and then God bless whoever you're in work with.
Oh yeah, they get it. My old desk mate used to just put up with it. God bless you, Sheila. But my new guy, JP, is much more sensible. He like just as soon as he comes in the morning, just pops on the headphones. They don't come off. JP, you want to see this meme about why it's crap to be woke? JP, you want to see this?
JP, do you do a good Welsh accent, JP?
Yeah, because I've been kind of working on one, to be honest, you know?
What is JP short for?
I don't know. He was born that way. I don't know. He was born.
Yeah.
He was born that way. I don't know. I don't think it's fair. Yeah, it's short for something French. I'm not sure.
Je professionnel.
Wait, he's French?
Yeah, or something.
Or something, yeah.
We got Big Ben Shapiro news in other news.
Oh. Such a thing exists?
Well, it's Little Ben Shapiro news. It's news about Little Ben. He's finally taken leave of the only possibly redeeming quality that he had, which was free speech absolutist Ben Shapiro. Of course, what that actually meant was free speech for things I agree with, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, as it does with every free speech absolutist.
Yeah. Free speech absolutism is like a gateway drug to fascism.
Yeah, it's horseshoe theory. Like, as soon as you're a free speech absolutist, you're this close to being a fascist.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them. It's come out this... I don't think it will have been worth it. I'm going to go out on a limb here and actually say it definitely won't have been worth it. But the conflict in the Middle East has unveiled all of the members of the right-wing commentariat who have been railing against wokeism, their words and mine, but for the last 5 years or whatever, only now to reveal that in fact, what they hate, they didn't hate it at all. They just wanted to be included as a protected group.
Well, of course, what I meant was there's an Overton window here at the Daily Wire, and you have crossed it. So, in fact, what we have here, infringement on Judeo-Christian values. So
you're just, because I mean, your thing was that these guys are a new religion, right? So, but you're just a religion. Okay.
Yeah. So what's the Ben Shapiro news? I feel like we've been dunking on him before the news has come, and I feel like
you're right, Gav. Let's hear him out. Let's give this opinion what it's worth.
No, yeah,
I'm a free speech absolutist. I want to hear the nonsense.
I want to hear what Ben Shapiro has to say. Yeah, well, he just
Mussolini theme intensifies in the background of Gav's audio there.
Facts started caring about his feelings. The Daily Wire. The Daily Wire sacked their one Israel critic, a woman named Candace Owens. Who, don't worry about it, you wouldn't like her.
You may not like this guy, but don't worry, you also don't like her.
But like a free speech absolutist is supposed to be able to see someone they don't like and go, well, I do not agree with the thing. Facts don't care about any feelings. Never mind my feelings or feelings at all. But in fact, they do care dramatically about his feelings. And it's fine. You're just being what everyone else is now, Ben. I'm going to say the rap hasn't aged well, but that wouldn't be fair to the term aged well. It wasn't good the first, second.
To say it aged like milk, it aged like already sour milk. Just a little bit worse.
Like, oh, how did this disgusting sour milk get worse? Well, now it's actually anthrax. So, I mean, you think things have gotten as bad as they can get, and then bam, you know. So it was just really funny, and the people have been mixing videos of him like saying like, well, students, you can't have a safe space where you run away and hide away from your feelings and all this, and then him being like, there's an Overton window at the Daily Wire, we have things that we can discuss and things that we can't, and it's not safe for me on campus now, and it's all that stuff. And it's just funny to watch, like watching him argue with himself. It's funny. He's none of that ilk of people have ever annoyed me as much as he does. So it's just fun for me to, like, I can usually find a redeeming quality in them, and I can't find one in him. I really dislike him. So,
yeah.
And if you've never had to listen to him, don't. Do yourself, go ahead. I'm not trying to censor you. Or am I? I mean, unless you start coming on here and saying like blatant misinformation, like that Archway isn't as good as fucking Island's Edge or whatever. I can't remember what that other beer, Rockshore, that other one, you know. Anyway, it's the final countdown. I'm Manus Cronin. Joining us this week, as always, a man who thinks we're probably going to get through this whole episode without mentioning the turban towel on his head. It's Jack Toner.
So it's called a microfiber turban, and it locks in moisture without, you know, it does a little bit of drying, but it keeps the moisture in there and doesn't frizz it up.
Okay.
Gotcha. Jack, I think there's never been a time when I've been gladder that Robo Buddy didn't make this a video podcast, because what your Manus has said a lot of cancelable things, but this right here, Jack,
get sent.
This right here might be the worst of all.
Yeah. I gotta tell you that turban towel cares about your feelings, or so.
well, look, you know what? I care about my time, and you know, some people do their plopping. It's called plopping with just a regular old T-shirt. And I just, you know what, I never trusted either my skill to wrap it nor the cleanliness of my T-shirts. So here we are investing in a dedicated microfiber turban, which has a little button at the back. You can see it has a little button.
Yeah.
And there's a little elastic bit. So you twist it and you reach the front with the elastic over the top post twist to wrap it around the button. And it just takes all the complexity out of
it. And it locks in the moisture, you say.
It absolutely locks in the moisture. Yeah. So
and why would you want that?
Yeah.
Sure, you want your hair to like get rid of the moisture. You want it to dry.
Oh, you sweet straight haired idiot. You ignorant slut. Guys, if it gets too dry, it's welcome to Frizz City.
Yeah.
And if it gets too wet, well then you're just dripping on your T-shirt. So you're
I've seen you too wet, Jack.
I've often been too wet.
more often than too dry, to be honest.
So what you're saying is this is solving a real problem for me.
It is solving a real problem. Sometimes I'll meet up with Jack Toner, his hair will be dripping wet, and I'm like, did you shower? And he'll be like, yep, yesterday.
An hour or two ago.
His hair knows no fucking bounds.
Okay, it's been in now for a little over a half an hour. That's usually enough time. I'm going to take it off, and I'm going to let you see the results.
You do, I would like to just mention that most middle-aged ladies who run into the hair problems you're describing do actually just go for basically shaving it all off and using a wig to get whatever sort of style they might want on a given day. I'm just saying that might be something for you to think about.
It is certainly the funniest option.
Do you think I would have the discipline to maintain a wig?
Wig discipline.
Do you think this problem doesn't get worse if I'm a wig guy?
Well, yeah. Then that's what you need WD-40 for. Wig discipline 40.
Okay, here we go. I'm just going to take off the headphones. I'm just going to...
He's deplopping as we speak. That's still much too wet. Yeah,
that's very wet.
There we go. It's not nearly as wet as you think it is. It's actually just... It's locked in a bit of the moisture. But look at that. Defined curls.
Yeah, locking in moisture. That's another word for wet, isn't it?
That is definitely, yeah. But yeah, Jack, maybe I can't tell how wet it is because it's not in person, but it looks pretty wet.
It's undeniable that I was in the shower 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, like you look like the Undertaker.
Thank you. I was aiming for Roman Reigns, but I'll take that 60-year-old man.
I do not understand. Why is his hair so wet? That sounds like a medical condition. He should consult a doctor.
Yeah,
my wet ass hair every day. Well, let me tell you.
Now here's what you're going to notice. What you're going to notice is that actually the T-shirt is not going to get wet, which is often a problem if I'm just out of the shower. If I'm in a rush, if I'm like, oh shit, I got to go home, shower, and go out. Immediate drip issue. That's what you'd have seen. You're not going to see that develop over the course of the episode. And I just want to thank you all for taking this journey with me.
I love that you've solved a real problem, Jack.
Thanks, Gav.
Yeah, and what advantages does that microfiber turban have over, say, a train, which you could also jump in front of?
the train would rapidly extract moisture.
it's true, it would.
There'd be moisture all over the rails. There'd be,
there'd be moisture everywhere, except where you want it to be.
Yeah, and my hair would be bone dry.
And so really, you're the winner here. You haven't tuned into the Rob podcast, folks. It is the premier beer podcast in the country. I found it an algorithm, like a podcast algorithm website that that actually does claim we're the number one beer podcast.
The all I can say to that is, yeah. Surely
wildly
not.
Outdated for charts.
Yeah, it's oh yeah, cause, but like it's only we're only one of two, like, or one of three current ones.
God, I think number
five,
me?
number five is like the beer snobs who haven't released an episode since 2017 or something like that.
It'd be real shit to be one of the. In number two and three, like knowing, like knowing,
Beer Ladies podcast is gaining steam. It's gaining steam. Oh, that one will be overtaken.
Okay, but it must also be pretty disheartening to know that this is what top dog looks like.
This is this is peak performance, everyone.
If you take your vitamins and you dry your hair just right, you too.
This is your Dylan Moran unlocking your potential, finding out that at most, if you really tried, you could. Perhaps eat less cheesy snacks. Yeah, God bless it. So we're all supping, we're all swilling. I think swilling. May only be Gavin who's swilling something that he hasn't swilled before, but
yeah, I've got a Farrington's Clever Plucker Session New England IPA.
I see.
Yeah, that's right. Farrington's Mill, a 40-acre organic farm. Somewhere.
It's in Farringdon.
In Farringdon, in Kildare. It's got a pigeon or a something like it on the thing. I've had a few sips now because we've been talking a while. It's fine. It just like tastes like a beer, you know? Like this isn't like an amazing. It's fine. It's not a flavor sensation. I would say it's a bit of a flavor. It's a bit of an underwhelming flavor.
I think this isn't actually the first time one of us has had this. I think maybe I didn't have it on the show, but that was my exact reaction to it. Was
yeah,
just like
now it's been in the fridge for ages. It's very cold, so maybe the flavor will come. But like it's hazy, it's light. But like in terms of like describing a flavor. I honestly couldn't put my finger on it because every note is so subdued.
True, that may be something. Maybe when it warms a little, although I don't remember that being particularly to its advantage when I had it. You know, also, I think it's like on, they got a load of them into Centres very early on. Mm. And the bloody hands of ambient temperature shelves have had their sinewy, worm tongue like fingers around them for the
don't love any part of that.
No, nor should you. You need I imagine when something like that occurs, when finally we are elected to government, and my minister for beer freshness, John Duffy, will go into various and sundry off licenses around the country and liberate these beers from their ambient temperature shelves in a Gandalf-esque sort of way. Jondolf the White, they'll call him. Now, he might have been hoping for a better position in my cabinet, like for example an existing one, but you know, I'm gonna bring Coveney back.
You'll be the one to bring him back.
I'm gonna bring Coveney back. He's like fingering birds on the dance floor. He never should.
He'll come back Coveney. just when we need him,
which is now and forever. So yeah, we'll I think I wonder, we don't have our resident expert on such things here. I think it's a pheasant.
Could be a pheasant. Yeah. I think you're dead right. Yeah.
James would know.
It looks, it looks like a fancy pigeon.
Oh yeah, which is basically all a pheasant is.
It's a pigeon that went to Trinity. You know.
Hey. It's crazy how correct Gavin was about how I was going to grow to love these 50 cent a bottle Perlenbach.
Fucking do it. Fucking call us.
They're great. Like, I'm just probably never buying another. I'm probably never buying another thing. This is probably.
My house will be made of the carcasses of the bottles.
I've consulted the little pigs. They had nothing to say about this. They were silent on whether that was a good idea. Well, have you tried making them out of these? The, as a building material, they're pretty good, you know? I don't know. Here we are again, 10 out of 10. And Jack is having a creamy beamy? Or
No, I'm actually drinking a Crafty Brewing Company brown ale.
Hmm. Oh!
Oh, yeah. I dare say. It's not a first for the show, but we haven't had it on in a while.
It's been a minute. I actually don't even know if they sell this anymore. It is. I'll show you the bottle so you can see sort of how long it's been sitting in my garden.
Oh yeah, they do still sell it. So. Although I wonder whether it would have appreciated in value for being sitting in that garden all that time.
Let me tell you, it certainly hasn't gotten bad. No. It may have gotten worse, but it hasn't gotten bad.
It should be fairly robust. If I remember, it was one of the hoppier brown ales.
It just actually describes itself as a boisterous brown ale. Does that answer your question?
It certainly does. It's a boisterous boy.
Good.
If anything, a bit of time in the garden would have mellowed out some of its boisterousness. It might be
as it does with many a boisterous boy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it remains very good. In summary, good on you, Crafty Brewing Company.
Yes, it's one of those ones that's just in that range that really just a lack of ever really going into little. It's Little's one that's kind of stops us from drinking them more.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, the Crafty Brewing Company, yeah, they do have some serious serious brews in their kind of core range. And like, they're still at a price point that's acceptable, which like, unfortunately, you can't say for a lot of craft beer.
No, you certainly can't. I often wondered, I used to be curious about this. In fact, I asked people from Norway about it. I was like, is the fact that all of the beer is so stupidly expensive in your country, does that make you less bothered by the fact that the craft beer is expensive? And they're like, nah, it doesn't fucking have any. Like, people are as reluctant as they would ever be. And of course, it's proved true in this country as well, since it got ridiculous. People are still just paying $3.50 a can for their Carlsberg. They're not like,
yeah.
We should have. Only a lifetime of experience taught us that we should have seen coming, to be honest.
Yeah. That when the prices get egregious, you feel the most egregious ones the most.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You do.
Because I understand that. No, maybe this is a stupid point, but I'm going to make it anyway. I understand that, like, there's not economies of scale with craft brewing. I understand that, like, they need to put maybe a higher markup on things as they're not selling the volumes. But wouldn't minimum unit pricing have positively impacted the craft beer community? Because they're already at a price point where that doesn't affect them.
That they can compete on quality instead of price?
Yeah.
I would have thought so, and that was largely my hypothesis when I was talking to our Scandinavian brethren, which was I wonder though, is it true that it's just kind of that they were that bit more expensive was already sort of setting them apart as if not conspicuous consumption, but then at very least the reassuring.
It was very conspicuous when I consumed it. It got a little bit more conspicuous everyone that I consumed.
Uncle Moneybags, get off the bus, there are children here. Interesting Mandela effect. People seem to remember the Monopoly Man as being like nice or something. Creepy alcoholic pedo, as far as I actually know.
Yeah. People forget he's a creepy alcoholic pedo.
It's because it's just the picture. It's like the Pringles guy. Don't even talk to me about the Pringles.
He's always in a rush somewhere. Where do you think he's running to? Or from?
So that, in answer to your question, I don't know. And it does, I was curious, is what's the story with Rye River? I've never actually visited their brewery. Like, they have their Crafty Brewing range, which seems to be separate from their formerly McGargles, now just Rye River. Like, but a lot of them are very similar. So are they really brewing like two different? I mean, I guess they must be because they are different. They're going to the trouble of brewing the two different American pale ales, the two different fucking.
They must be. They must like must be like Unilever or P&G, who just like essentially do three different brands of soap to compete against each other, despite the fact that they've got the same parent company.
It doesn't surprise me at all that they would do that. It surprises me that the quality is so good when they're doing.
Yeah,
that.
if they're operating like cartels aren't known for their quality.
That's the one thing you can always expect from a cartel economy is if the quality goes up, the prices go down, everything works out for the consumer, right? That's what Bill Gates told me, and that's why I've always hated those damn antitrust lawyers ruining the perfect utopia we used to have. Like the Windows 95 days, if you will. Bless his little cotton socks. And score one for the little guy, as far as Bill Gates goes. He's made a comeback.
Yeah. Score one. What height is Bill Gates?
And he's quite tall. I remember being paid to say he's I think 7 feet tall now. Made it a solid.
Yeah. So when you say score one for the little guy, you really mean score one for the big guy. Like
yeah, he's a big guy height-wise and
height-wise, I mean, but like he's an underdog.
He's always been an underdog. His whole life he's been an underdog. Yeah, that's the underdogs need control over the media. They need it. Because listen, the mighty don't require that, so it must be nice to be able to just fucking rely on the on regular press coverage. But no, it's you know, some of us have to purchase PBS.
We're not PBS. PBS.
Yeah,
MSNBC.
Pretty boy syndrome.
I suffer from that. But what does that have to do with anything? Yeah.
You've it's good to see it's in remission.
Oh,
sorry, Gav.
Syndrome you, in remission.
Yeah, you are correct, Jack. I should have been able to figure out that it was the one with MS in its name. multiple sclerosis NBC.
Multiple sclerosis NBC.
So who knows what the story is with that. Jack, you've got a big wrestling event either coming up or having just happened.
When this goes out, it will still be coming up. I am going to WrestleMania this weekend.
He's wrestling The Rock, folks. Wrestling The Rock.
I told you, if I kept my hair game on point, kept it looking luxurious, they'd be like, put that man on television. Have him wrestle the man with no hair. It'll look great. That's what'll make it real clear who's who.
Yeah.
The 6 foot
it will be tough.
300 pounds of pure muscle and the bald guy. Get her up.
Jack, we got a great flash of the bingo wings there, lads. It was you're missing out on Robo Buddy, not that's frankly all bingo wing ladies were missing is the like Ultimate Warrior ties around the just give him a bit of fucking shape.
Yeah, get him nice and vascular for the bingo.
Fucking right, man.
Yeah, I got my dabbing marker. We're gonna show these bitches who's boss.
Oh, you see it there? Oh, no, Imelda has a full house. No, Imelda is just flexing. Nothing there. Philomena, ready with a bit of it. No, once again, she's just
flexing. Can we get those bands off them? Can we get those? I mean, it's actually getting a bit confusing. It's disrupting the bingo.
It's a pretty big part of all of our lives at this point. I've never been to the bingo. I've never been to unironic bingo.
I went to a very fun bingo in a pub called the Harold House a few weeks ago. A lot of music rounds and regular bingo rounds. The music rounds really are just listening to bangers and those are the numbers.
Wait, what? How is it a music round? Like, do they just play Sweet Child of Mine and then say 66?
No. They play Sweet Child of Mine.
I don't know how music round works in a pub quiz. But in bingo?
Yeah. So they play Sweet Child of Mine, and then if you have Sweet Child of Mine on your bingo card, you tick it off or you cross it off.
And
it's a bingo card with songs on it instead of numbers.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
It's real good. I would go again.
So they're not just like waiting for numbers to come up that have corresponding song titles. It was like, yeah, get your kicks on Route 66, 99 Revolutions. And then it's like, I'm where that was when we came up with them. We thought there'd be more of those, but yeah.
Just the two of us.
That's good.
You want to make it
twice, three times, a lady. That actually counts for 1, 2, and 3, folks.
So can you, Lionel? You're killing me here. What are you doing with these?
It's a strong recommend for Bingo in the Harald House.
Harald House is that in Krishna Harald, Harald's Cross?
yeah, but it's on the town side of the bridge. So I think it's
probably... Oh, I know exactly where... Is that where the non-alcoholic pub?
It certainly wasn't when I was
certainly not. Alcohol.
No, there is one on the town side of the bridge of Harald's Cross, just beyond Harald's Cross. It used to be called the Glimmer Man, and I don't know what happened, but now it's a pub with no booze.
Are you sure?
Although if I go there, it'll have plenty of booze.
Oh! It's... I don't know the pub you're talking about. I don't know the pub you're talking about, but this is Clanbrassil Street in Portobello. So like right there on the corner there, the bridge. But is the Glimmer Man not just a regular pub?
I know exactly where it is. The one I'm talking about is, I think, like across the road from that, but like down a bit.
It's MVP, over... which...
Yes, that's exactly, yeah. That's where it is, yeah. Wait. Yeah, I just, when I was like, it used to be the Glimmer Man, it hasn't been that in 30 years.
The Glimmer Man is also a still active pub in Stony Batter.
That's Stony Batter, though. It's very fucking fashionable altogether, you know?
Yeah.
That's their pub is based upon the Steven Seagal movie, The Glimmer Man. I think it was one of his better ones, actually. If you're
Gordon, if you IMDb, must, anyway.
You yeah. must watch a Steven Seagal movie and you've already seen Under Siege. I think the Glimmer Man might be like the only other watchable one, but I think because there's no reason why he couldn't be a very minor character in good movies, but he insists
on being the main guy in like, shite movies.
Yeah. Like it feels like they gave him two options, but really there was only one he was supposed to pick. It was like, look, Steven, you can star in a movie if you want, but this is what it's gonna look like. Or you could take a choice role in this new Tarantino. you had me at star in the movie. you could maybe be a supporting actor, maybe sort of an aging martial art leading man.
Some sort of complex, corruptible father figure. You as the leading man, you assume.
This is a tough one for a leading man to play. Like, but
who's the target demo for these movies? Men who are slightly fatter than Steven Seagal.
We keep feeding them cheeseburgers and having to rewrite the movies.
You can imagine being the guy who's just like, I just need to get into Seagal shape. That's the only thing that's preventing me from leading this life.
I do remember my dad, and I apologize for putting him on blast here. During one of his many attempts at let's say recomposition of the body, I think he called out a front row on the Irish rugby team and said, "Now that's the body I want." And I was like,
"Hey, boy,
you're so close." To that being achievable. It's just, it's a density issue, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You could get the look.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll have all the same stuff. It'll just be about 6 inches lower than where you wanted it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is an important, that might be the most important 6 inches on the body. You'll know what I mean.
It is a little tough for, it's not, for like, If you're a big guy and you've been a big guy forever and a lot of it is fat, some of it's muscle, you're just a big all over guy, and that's been your identity for 20 years, and then you lose weight and it's like, oh, you're a little guy.
Yeah, because there's something about being big, I imagine, that's like, oh, I'm big, like I can fucking throw my weight around. Whereas suddenly you drop half your weight and it's like, you're not spreading out on airplane seats. You're like, oh, fucking hell, I'm a nobody.
Yeah, I'm just a tall dude.
like on a certain level, people don't people don't mess with a big guy. Even if,
yeah,
like you know, it's like I'm pretty. How much is he bulging with what could be muscle? I mean, what's that? And if you're also tall, you can be fucking wrecked looking if you're tall, and be doing Preach. Fine.
Gavin chose the mustache as a power move. From a tall guy, he's like,
"Yeah,
let me prove something to you right quick."
How tall is the height? What does it start to get where it's not, where it wouldn't be worth it to be like to where you'd be better off being short? Like, if you're my height, you should always be like up until you're. I'd take to extra 2 inches, absolutely extra. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be James's height. Probably that's probably where it is.
Yeah. Well, how James is 6'7".
Yeah. And not like in a sport that it is necessary for.
Yeah. The rowing team tried to do to him in Freshers Week. You're tall, you'll do.
What? Sit in him and start rowing?
Yeah, he was going to be the canoe. Like all of your life prospects, on average anyway, get better as you get taller up until a point. But there is a point at which it's... Like John Conway's joke used to always, was it like 6'4 is great, but 6'5 is too much? But that's not really true. Yeah. You should still probably prefer to be 6'5 than 5'10. Like,
yeah, I'd say it probably starts, I'd say around kind of 6'7, 6'8. Like 6'8, certainly you're ducking under every door frame. You're a...
Yeah,
it's just
difficult to get around this place.
You're fucking up concerts. You're making very unrelatable complaints about planes.
Oh yeah, no one feels fucking sorry for you at all either. When you get like, if you're under tall, people like you do get teased. Like under tall, yeah. But no one feels that sorry for like a someone who's 6'8" or whatever. They're like, oh, it must be terrible, like. I guess it also matters if you're rich, right?
It does, yeah. Yeah. Rather be short and rich.
Yeah, certainly. Whereas, like, you know, if like, you know, if you're certain height, you've got to buy your clothes in the big and tall shop. And
it ain't fucking
cheap. Yeah, bro, but the girls who be hanging around the big and tall shop is fucking tenors across the board.
Fucking is, man.
Like the towny girls in Malcolm in the Middle. They're just hanging outside waiting for it to open for a tallie to come that they can climb like a tree.
Hey, we're all the same height lying down.
We're all the same height. Well, I mean, Jack, you're not.
Any tall person would...
You're a little bit taller than most lying down.
Some people pitch a tent, some people pitch a yurt. That was top of the dome. I should write that down.
I mean, you're joking about penis size, clearly, and obviously it's no joke when it comes to one that's quite that size. But the main point is lying down is like one of the main things where it's a pain in the arse to be really tall, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Surely you gotta get those extra long beds.
Yeah.
Have you been dealing with cold feet your entire life? Yeah.
No, you just bend your knees. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, see, I would. That's how you know you're smart. Some people are like, "Oh, I need socks." Like, no,
sleep socks.
Yeah, I need
those piggies. Those piggies are getting taken to market like fucking day on the daily. my piggies have been revolting, and I don't mean disgusting, although they're disgusting too. Another fun joke that Michelle really doesn't like is that the piggies have got up in arms. That it's like, it's not fucking fair. They all want roast beef. Thank you very much.
I don't understand.
Sorry. That is a joke.
Yeah, well, but it's been going on. They're like, we went to fucking eat that bitch and then we're fucking taking him to market then, and I used to stay here with him and then no beef for me as well. Went to fucking story. That I've given them the voice that the Sminky Shorts have. And they even do so muffledly when there are socks on.
And then
now that's a gag we can all get on board with.
So, but it's getting quite.
When you said the little piggies were up in arms, I thought the joke was going to be their fingers.
Oh, that would have been a better joke.
And now I'm desperately trying to structure it as a joke in my head and failing miserably.
Well, no. Well, I would have been a visual one. I would have just gone, check them out or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I took my little piggies to the market, but they got up in arms about it.
Toes for fingers would be such a shit problem to have.
Yeah, but fingers for toes would be pretty outrageous, dude.
Would you still wear shoes if you had fingers for toes?
Nah, you'd be a sandal guy. Let them know.
You'd have to wear very specific shoes. You'd constantly break your fingers.
You'd have to get into, if you wanted to live a normal life, you'd have to get into clowning. And I've realized I've lowered the bar for normal life. Why are his shoes so big? It simply couldn't be because he has enormous finger-like toes. He's just a clown.
Like swapping like toe fingers and finger toes would be a fucking disaster if you had both. All the reasons why they're good the way they are would be.
You'd never have to sit forward on a couch to pick up a beer.
That's why I've been cultivating my belly. I can just rest it there.
Even having a built-in.
I reckon if this was a problem that you actually had to deal with, a big part of the solution would be daily stretching.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So like, you know, your feet are more dexterous than your hands. So like, time to get them involved. I need to be able to put this motherfucker behind my head.
Yeah.
True. Because the only line of employment available to you will be selling your hoop. So yeah. Might as well learn to get your, you know, people think you'll be like, you know, but you're not. It's much more fun to put your legs behind your head and let someone have at it, you know. I find personally
that's obvious. Come on, like, tell us something we don't know.
I will not prostitute myself to a man who is not man enough to look me in the eye while he does the deed.
That's a great point, because you gotta have self-respect.
You gotta have rules, man.
Yeah.
I
have to live by a code.
If you
were good at the L stretching, though, you could do a pretty advanced version of the answering your foot joke, like it's a telephone.
Oh yeah.
You could be actually holding the phone.
Yeah.
Hello, it's for you. Foot in face.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually for you.
Yeah,
and like, I got your mum's number, and you're like, oh, get that away from me. He's like, why? It's your mum.
It's your mum.
Don't say that about your mum. Don't say get that away from me. That's the woman who birthed you.
Okay, guys, let's put a hard stop to it here. I'm gonna cut all of this out because this is just gonna be an Edinburgh show next year. Okay,
absolutely.
It's gonna be finger toes.
Toes for days.
I think that we're all at the stage in our life where August is just wide open.
Wide
open.
I feel like if we had finger toes, it'd be like a man who actually got a talking dog. We're like, oh man, you'd be a millionaire. How? In what way? Well, your dog talks. Okay. What now? You haven't got a fucking clue what now, have you? How are you going to monetize this? Well, it could go on the radio. Yeah, all right. I mean, so fucking Joe Duffy has your arm with your talking dog. Why don't you just say you have a talking dog? It's the radio. Okay, first of all.
Ah, Joe, now we'd be very concerned now about the dogs be talking and all, Joe.
No, just for journalistic integrity's sake there, Fintan, now with the, you know yourself there with the talking dog and all. Now, we would have to have him into the studio so we could, you know, see him for journalistic integrity on the... Oh, sorry, Joe, I thought this was Liveline. Oh, actually, yeah, now that you say it is Liveline, so fuck journalistic integrity, actually, now that you say it.
Just say, and instead, why don't we just say things?
Why don't we just say you have a talking dog? They did that one time on like the Jerry Ryan show, didn't they? They said they went like they took a pretend trip to an island where Jerry killed a lamb and ate it.
That was a TV show. That was like Ireland's Survivor.
Oh, was it? I thought it was all a big joke.
You're
thinking of Treasure Island, where it was a reality show where they were all on a boat and they were due to land somewhere, Jack. But after like one episode, They had crashed the boat.
Both
and
sides. Had
been rescued, and the show was cancelled. Sorry.
That, like, that sounds like a great... that sounds like a way better documentary than it would have been a TV show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, I love, like, you have all these, and here's my thing, Irish-Americans who are obsessed with, like, Ireland, wow, the people, just so mystical and stuff like that. And then it's like, yeah, but, like, one time during the Celtic Tiger, it would be a good idea to stick celebrities on a boat that none of them knew how to sail, and we had to cancel the show because they crashed.
And then you can imagine the RT board meeting the next week where it's like, okay, so it wasn't our best reality show. Actually, it was.
Because I have a very distinct memory of, like, them all coming back and doing, like, expose interviews about their time. And
yeah, I actually think, Jack, show. That is ringing a bell to me. I think they did either really do or claimed to, and no one could prove otherwise, go to an island or something. I think the bone of contention, which they later claimed they didn't really do, was that Jerry Ryan had killed and eaten some sort of animal.
Yeah, there was like a pig or a sheep or something that they needed to kill for food. And he was the one who took one for the team. And then the others were like, ah, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, they said.
Or maybe it did, and it's just like, ah, let's just say Jerry didn't kill that.
And were they just like, guys, we've got all this audio of Jerry Ryan eating. It actually sounds like an animal dying, so we just...
I was, and I meant to talk about it, but we haven't talked about it, and there's not really time, but the new hidden camera show with a friend of the show, Darren Garhey, and...
I haven't seen it personally, because I would like to maintain respect for a friend of the show, Darren Garhey.
Yeah.
It looks bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, it's not great. It's not good. Like, RTE are, like, pathologically incapable of making these things. I remember stumbling upon filming of the TV show Anonymous. Remember Anonymous?
Yeah.
With Jason Byrne. Yeah, and, like, the celebrity of the week in, like, a mask pretending to be someone else. And he's in the earpiece, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the first thing we're walking up one of the side streets on Grafton Street, and the first thing you see is a big giant RTE like camera hanging out one of the windows. You're like, okay, so they're filming. So they're filming something. Then you get onto Grafton Street, you can see all these producers milling around in high vis with clipboards, and you're like, okay, so what's going on here? Then there's, like, security people with a perimeter around this guy in a mask that looks like the joke mask from I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah. The Anonymous is that, like, did Tim Robinson, like, see Anonymous? Because it's basically exactly the same.
So you're there, it's like the only people you have two choices. You can film pretend reactions from people pretending to interact with this clearly non-human entity who can barely speak through the mask to even explain what's going on. The gimmick at this point. Or you can get, like, escaped mental patients who might believe it to be real and see what happens.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they always go for the former. So I can only imagine, like, try though they might have, I would think Darren and Dunica and their mate, whatever his name is, were probably smart enough to know. So, there's no point. Why even try? This can't work.
I've clicked.
Hasn't worked since naked camera. And that's because it was fucking PJ Gallagher and no one knew who he was.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So I've pulled up the RTE player and fired up the first episode of the full Irish hidden camera show. And I clicked into the middle of the episode, and the immediate thing that jumps out at me is how difficult it is to hide enormous beefcake Dunica O'Callaghan from being anything other than
one of the most unique looking men in our
completely is.
Yeah, and actually quite famous for his visibly famous. You know, he's huge.
Yeah, he doesn't look like anyone else.
He's more tanned than half of the fucking than half the people who visit the country. Never mind, like, are from here. Like, and I'm just looking at this thing, and it's like, it's so obviously a Laurel and Hardy duo of Dunica and whoever Carl is. that it's like, so we've got the beefcake and the dweeb. I sure hope no one's filming this.
And like, you can imagine like the union cameraman that they have to bring out with them every time they do one of these. Like,
yeah, I've continued clicking through, and they've tried to do him as some sort of pilot. Oh wow, fascinating bit of a protection there from RTE taking a screenshot. Doesn't work.
Good for them, actually impressive that they learned from
the Chris D'Elia scandal. I knew they would.
Yeah, or they learned that, you know, people sharing images of a thing tends to be quite good for it. This is more world. I feel like they're more on the side of world rugby.
They certainly are. And you need your snipping tool for these occasions. I've discovered you can always take a screenshot that way.
No, that's what I'm using, and it's like fuck.
Oh, it really won't.
Whoa,
that's wacky.
It shows everything except the video itself. The video itself is just black.
Huh.
Yeah.
God, it's amazing that they've put like money into stopping you from snipping it, and no money or time or creativity into the actual content itself.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, it's not amazing at all. It's in fact the most predictable in the entire world.
But how will we stop people stealing it if we're giving it away?
Yeah,
we are giving it away. If we could,
I'm a taxpayer. I deserve it. That screenshot is mine.
If only people were sharing it.
Exactly.
The last time I remember enjoying anything of a hidden camera show on RT wasn't even Naked Camera. It was, I don't remember which one of them it was. It was just one of the RTE staff dressed up as a sort of vagrant lunatic approaching the other staff as they left the building with bottles of like wine from a garage, and seeing how many of them would just accept a random bottle of wine off a stranger. And the only one who did was Jerry Ryan, and I thought it was very on brand for him.
It's pretty cool.
Jerry Ryan.
He's such a man of the people. He looked at the wine, he went, "Screw top. All right." He dismissed it, but and you're waiting for him to hand it back, and he's like, no, yeah, I mean, that's still got I don't have one for the drive home, so I'm gonna. And it shows you how much
been invented yet.
No, it shows you how much times have changed as well. How crazy people went when they thought Jerry Ryan ate a live lamb or whatever. And you can, if you want to, go onto the RT player now and watch Lottie Ryan feast on an entire barnyard of live livestock. You know,
yeah.
and it has no one watches it. It's insane.
Yeah.
I thought Lottie Osborne was going to be a big hit, but it wasn't.
Lottie was my dance teacher when I was in drama school.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't realize she was enough older than you to have been your dance teacher.
It was drama school. She probably also attended said school.
Yeah. They do. They are like the martial arts schools for a different type of dweeb. They're just like, yeah, you can work for us. You can work for us for no money. And you're gaining something. I don't know what it is. Hey, we'll even let you. We'll let you sleep at the dojo, if you agree to never leave the dojo. And because we don't have an alarm, so we need someone to basically.
I did recently find out that one of the lads does sleep at our dojo occasionally, because he's just like, I'll just crash here for a few hours after shows until the buses are running again.
Indie wrestler sleeping at wrestling school is a trope at this point. It's
like... yeah. But I thought it had taken a bit of a break. Not true. Yeah.
I mean, of all the places you could sleep, it's pretty comfortable, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's smelly.
A lot of sweaty mats.
It's smelly, that's for sure. But you know, you do grow used to the smell.
You grow to love it.
You grow to love it.
Yeah. Now, and everyone else grows to love the smell on you. It. Yeah, that's true. Right, well, I think we all miss our loved ones and gases, so it's probably time to review these beers of the Great Little Futurama joke. I miss my wife and me oxygen. Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases.
So fucking good. I think I'll start with the Farringdon's Clever Plucker. Jesus Christ, guys, like, try making a beer sometime. This is nothing. Like, I hate to dunk on someone, but like, God, flavor call.
No,
wait, it didn't. It's missing. It's been missing for years.
Flavor call, it says it'll be late. It'll be here later, yeah. God damn it.
Like, when I tried really hard to taste it, I got like the kind of like bitterness of hops a little bit slightly tiny, but like, this is nothing. Like, I'm gonna, I like, if it was offered to me, I would drink it.
Sure.
But like, you know, it's just kind of a nothing beer. So like, yeah,
it's in the ice bucket. It's in the ice bucket at a barbecue. You're still picking one up.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. It could totally inoffensive, but like, not trying anything. Five out of 10.
Five out of 10. And you have to wonder, who's it for?
Yeah,
because there's money in being bland and unforgettable. If you're Budweiser or Heineken or, you know, a brand that people will recognize, but who, someone will pick this up going, well, I think I should have something a touch craftier than the usual, and then you get that. I mean, I don't know, but maybe it's going to be a huge success. It probably will. It'll probably have its own hidden camera show on RTE pretty soon. Jack, I think it's been...
were his parents on RTE?
Ooh, I don't think Dunica's parents were. Come on now.
Hilariously, yeah, Dunica really did earn that spot. Like, it takes a lot to be known as a big fucking jock and then be like, I swear I have a personality, just give me a shot. And for that to last years.
Yeah, he was the funniest of the dumb jocks. And now he's the least funny of the professional presenters.
Win the fight you're in.
Yeah.
Jack, I think it's been long enough since we reviewed that brown ale for it to get another look in. Cause
yeah, I know that brown ales really do well on the show.
They do.
This is a good one. It's probably not exceptional,
though.
It's been a while since I've had one. Though still, like, it's really good. Like, when I say it's not exceptional, it's not a fucking 10, and I'm sure something in the back of my head is like, we've had like 9.5s and maybe even 10s in this category.
We have.
I think
St. Mel's got like a 9.5 or something across the board.
I think this is like an 8.5 for me. It's probably like an 8. And that might have something to do with the fact that it was probably sitting outdoors for about a year.
Might have improved it.
I actually, it might have mellowed it. I'm not sure that's to its credit, and that's a testament to it. But yeah, no, real good. It's an 8. Buy it.
Yeah.
You'll get you drunk.
You'll get you drunk.
Yeah, and something that won't get you drunk, Perlenbach or Spooky. But if you want to lose a disappointingly small amount of weight, you could try not drinking for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Give us the numbers, start and end.
I was a buck 90. It's not the end. I'm keeping going because I'm still way too fat. I was a buck 90 at the start. I was a buck 90 at the start, and I am. Like 178, so I've lost about 12 pounds.
Loads in, because the first 2 or 3 weeks is just your body being like, "Nah, really, dog," and then you've had about 3 weeks of actually losing weight.
Yeah, I guess. But I've been going hard, like, and it really should have been. I guess I've never been 190 pounds before, so. I guess I just was like, that first 5, I was like, that doesn't count because that shouldn't have been there.
So you're only a little bit taller than me, right?
I'm almost exactly 5'10". I'm slightly over 5'10". And you're...
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's too heavy for you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I know it is.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I was like, book 90 doesn't feel too bad. And then I was like,
no, you'd want to be at least 6 foot to be carrying that around with any degree. Like, I mean, unless you're, and you know if you are, unless
or,
you're like,
or yoked out of it. Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
you're fucking like giant and like muscular, then fine. But I wasn't.
you were the wrong 6 inches, brother.
I tell you, man, yeah.
Gear up.
Don't cheers to it because that's the episode title, but it only really leaves us one thing to cheers to.
To fingers on
to that arbitrary rule that the beer nut set. No, we can't have the fucking cheers in the episode title.
You're right. That was just something he said not to do.
It's something he said.
Sorry, everything is only something he said. We've never validated a fucking word out of his mouth.
Look, I'll trust the experts. I'm not going to do my own research. All right?
People are sick of experts.
All right. Until we can convince Tucker to come on, we're going to have to deal with that expert. So.
We might need to increase our listener count just a touch.
Just
to get Tucker? I don't know, man. I've seen him do a show on Fox News for years.
And cut! Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.